hem of his clothes. That's just one of the stories that everybody knows. Oh, I know the facts, but I'd love to feel what the blind man felt when his eyes were healed. He went running through the streets to share.
I wish I could have been there when the thousands were fed with just two fish and some bread to see the little boy packing up the rest. I wish I could have been there to see the lame that could lead, hear the dumb that could speak,
and see the multitudes of people Jesus blessed.
I wish I could have seen the stone that went a-rolling away when they looked inside the door to where the grave clothes lay. I didn't see, but I believe that he'd have seen it in the air. And I really wish I could have been there.
The eager mind that lies was to walk right out of his grave, and then a Galilean storm he started coming the waves. I wanna feel that breeze blowing on my face. I wanna know the smell. I wanna taste the taste. Just a reading that it couldn't compare.
I wish I could have been there when the thousands were fed with just two fish and some bread to see the little boy packing up the rest. I wish I could have been there to see the lame that could lead, hear the dumb that could speak,
and see the multitudes of people Jesus blessed.
I wish I could have seen the stone that went a-rolling away when they looked inside the door to where the grave clothes lay. I didn't see, but I believe that he is sitting in the air. And I really wish I could have been there.
I wish I could have
been there when the thousands were fed with just two fish and some bread to see the little boy packing up the rest. I wish I could have been there to see the lame that could lead, hear the dumb that could speak,
and see the multitudes of people Jesus blessed.
Inside the door to where the grave falls lay. I didn't see, but I believe that he ascended in the air. And I really wish I could have been there.
This is one of the great, great chapters of the Bible. It is a chapter that has within its context the greatest need of the church world. And I trust you will hear that as I preach this morning. It is such a joy to preach always about the person and baptism of the Holy Ghost. If there is a need in the church world, it is a need, a deep need, to once again know the powers of the Spirit in the church world. I'm preaching this morning on now concerning spiritual gifts. Now concerning spiritual gifts. I want every one of you to get a heart this morning to be spiritual. If you will understand what it means to be spiritual, and you will become spiritual, I'm here to tell you, it'll change your life. It'll change everything about you. You'll never be the same. It'll do some wonderful things for you. Now, let's read together a few verses. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversity of gifts, many different gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Notice that. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now let's read that last verse together. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. How many of you fit into the category? Now, it's not meaning men or women here. This simply means mankind. How many of you know that the gifts and work of the Holy Ghost are actually for you? Nobody excluded. For you. Nobody left out. Nobody left out. Everybody, whosoever will, has this promise of these gifts of the Holy Ghost in their life. Now, there's nine of them. I won't read the nine. I'll let you read them when you get home. But I want to talk about the principles of spiritual living. The principles of spiritual operation. I have 12 of them, and I will do my best to give you each of them. Spend a little moment with each. But I want you to take this home with you. And I want to leave you with a passion this morning to become a spiritual person. A spiritual person. There's just nothing like it. There's nothing more important to it. There's nothing that the church is more desperate for. You, God wants you to be spiritual. He don't want you just a carnal, you know, pew warmer. He wants you to take this glorious, wonderful truths and take them into your world. Where you work, where you live, your family, your children, your parents, your neighbors, your cousins. He wants you to become spiritual. Spiritual. You may be seated. Father, help me pray. Father, your servant needs your wisdom this morning, that the Holy Ghost of God may fill this place, and that everybody will leave here with an absolute dedication to becoming spiritual. Father, help us to get these principles. For the Holy Ghost of God never operates in a vacuum. He never operates, Father, in some kind of loose-knit kind of setting or lifestyle or devotion. All of His operations are biblical. They are right. They are pure. And we must learn how to yield ourselves to them, Father. In Jesus' name, I pray. Now, the word spiritual means supernatural. It means the realm where God operates. The only way and only operation of spiritual in the biblical sense is from God the Father, God the Son, by God the Holy Ghost. It's God. It's all of God. It's pure God. That's the way you can say it. Spiritual in the biblical sense is pure God. Pure God. No natural powers, no human action can cause them to operate except yielding, submitting, giving ourselves. The spiritual that we speak of this morning is the action and hand of our Heavenly Father. Now, it is beautiful to think about God operating in the midst of men. God operating in the lives of men and women. God manifested Himself that we might learn a little more about His glory. You can be used of the Holy Ghost. Now, let me start with these principles and try to spend as much time. I want you to take them home with you. I'm not trying to preach you happy. I hope you get happy. But I'm trying to preach you into a new lifestyle of being spiritual. Being spiritual. Number one, everything in the Bible are the principles, are the basis, are the bedrock of everything spiritual. Spiritual operation never moves beyond the Bible. It never operates outside the lids of those pages. There is nothing in those pages that is not applied to the spiritual world. You don't have to forget. If it's in the Bible, it's your right to claim it. If it's in the Bible, it's your right to believe it. It's your right to live in it. It's your right to enjoy it. It's your right to let it change you. Let it do something mighty. So the first principle you must remember, you must never forget it. It is absolutely imperative. The Bible is the realm in which the Holy Ghost operates. From Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, the Bible is the basis of this wonderful spiritual world. I love that. I really do love that. Now, number two, you've got to remember this now. You've got to remember the gifts of the Holy Ghost are supernatural. They're never natural. They're never just physical. They are supernatural. They are supernatural, and they cannot operate unless God determines them to operate. I've heard people say, I can speak in tongues when I get ready. That's absolutely false, unless you understand being yielded to the Holy Ghost. Unless you understand being yielded to the Holy Ghost. I can assure you, the Holy Ghost will make himself real if you're open to him. But you cannot decide that on your own except in consecration and devotion and dedication and plenty of time. You know, God requires plenty of time in his presence if he would make known himself in you. Isaiah said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And we've added, teach me, Lord, to wait. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Oh, hallelujah. So, you must understand, spiritual means supernatural. That removes it out of the realm of the natural alone. Must be supernatural. Now, what's so beautiful about God's supernatural power is he operates in natural lives. He supersedes us. He moves outside of our capacity. He moves outside of our realm. And God works his work in us in a natural way, a natural sense, but by supernatural power with supernatural results. Do you understand that? How many of you know that you can be the vehicle of great spiritual activity? You can be a vessel where God reveals himself. See, when God reveals himself, people will not look at you. They will look at the God who made himself real in you. When it's really God, they won't give you the glory. They'll know better than that. When it's really God, they'll give God the glory. When you see people getting all kinds of glory, you know something's wrong. Something's out of order. When God moves, it's his glory. It's his honor. It's his praise. And I want you to make sure you take that home with you. It is so important. Now this place, this very work of supernatural spiritual power is where we become partners with God. Did you know the Bible makes it plain that God wants us to be partners with him? Did you know that God wants to work with us in a harmonious way, a harmonious attitude? Did you know that God wants to take you and make you his partner in the work of the kingdom? Did you know that? Did you know that we are laborers? This is the scripture now. We are laborers together with God. I wonder how many of you would say those words. We are laborers together with God. Woo! What a joy that Joe Chambers can be a partner in the activity of God. That Brother Derek can be a partner in the activity of God. That Sister Yvette can be a partner in the activity of God. I saw when the Holy Ghost has anointed that little lady. And God would use her. She'd sing, and it would just thrill our hearts, and we would be lifted up with a new joy. We were there a little bit this morning. We were there with Brother Joseph and Sister Gans when they sang with God. Said, you see, God's anointing goes beyond the natural and puts us in the realm of the supernatural. Well, hallelujah. That's why we're not getting very much done. Because there's not enough spiritual work in our midst. And I'm ready to change that. How about you? How many of you are ready to change that? How many of you are ready to get down on your face and start spending some meaningful hours on your face with God? I'm working deeply and profoundly with Brother Dylan and Brother Joseph. And we're praying once a week here in these altars and waiting on God until we become spiritual, until God's anointing is heavy upon us, until we are driven into the harvest with a passion for the lost. Oh, hallelujah. 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 This is where we become partners with God. Did you know that in this realm of the spiritual, you can know things that you cannot know in the natural? And when God shows them to you, you can take them to the bank. I remember one time I was praying for a couple that I wanted to see saved. I'd been working with them for a number of weeks. And I got on my knees one day that week and I cried and prayed until the Holy Ghost said, I'm going to save them Sunday morning. And he almost startled me. I was a young little whippersnapper, you know, pastor in the little church at Rockwell, North Carolina, left there in 68. So you know how long ago that was. And the Lord told me he's going to save them. And I was thrilled to my core. Got to church on Sunday morning, started Sunday school, and they're not there. Got ready for preaching, and they're not there. And I'm standing up there, we're singing and worshiping God. It's about time for me to preach. The front doors was open. And the long steps going down. I saw them walking up the steps. You won't know how my heart felt. I can't tell you how my heart felt. There they come. God, I knew you wasn't going to let me down. You wasn't going to make a nut out of me. I knew you was going to do it. They fell in that altar. They got right with God and have been holiness Christians. As far as I know, last time I saw them, living the same old godly life, saved by the blood. Hallelujah. God answers prayer, and God will show you things you don't know. I never forget when he showed me that Hillary Clinton would never be president. I hadn't told you this. But the day we voted this year, the media had her elected and coronated by 4 o'clock. She done won, they thought. I came here, got down right here, right along there. And I said, God, are you hanging me out to dry? God, are you going to let me be made a fool out of? God, what are you going to... What's going to happen here? I've never doubted it, God. But God, I must be honest with you. These people are getting through to me. And I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost came right down on top of me. Went through my very being, Marlon Clark. Hallelujah. I jumped up off my knees. I grabbed my Bible. I went home, got my tablet, you know, where I keep up with things, and got in my chair and just sat there and shouted all the way through until it was over. Hallelujah. I knew it was done. I'm telling you, God will show you. I'm nothing special. Nobody here is any different from anybody else. We're not putting no roses on nobody. I'm just here to tell you the Holy Ghost, the spiritual world, is a place where you can live in the realm of God. How many believe this? Let me see your hand. You believe this? You can live in the realm of God. You can have God working in your life, mamas. You need it with those kids you got. You hear me? Daddies, you need it with an unsaved family member. I need it. Listen, the realm of the spiritual is a realm of the words of wisdom and the words of knowledge, where you can know things that this world can never teach you. You can never learn it. You can have things to direct your life. Listen to me now. This is where God wants His church to live today. We are desperate for this kind of visitation from heaven. Are you aware of it? Hallelujah. That was number four. Number five, listen to me. We can see people helped to introduce them to Christ. Now, wait a minute. You got to hear that again. We can see people healed and helped even before they're saved. If we are doing so and God is working with us, and the whole purpose is to bring them to Christ. See, we in today's church look for saints to pray for. In the Bible days, they looked for sinners to pray for. Some of the most remarkable miracles in the Bible were wrought in the lives of unsaved people because somebody was leading them to Christ. Are you listening to me? God wants you, every one of you, out in your world, so full of the Holy Ghost that when there's a need in your family and somebody needs a miracle, that you can pray for them and God will give them a miracle and God will work His work in them and they will then be brought to Christ because of what God had wrought in your life for them. Now this is spiritual. This is where God wants us to live. You have a perfect right to lay your hand on some old sinner that you're telling about Jesus, and He's willing to look at you and say, yes, I would be glad for you to pray for me. I believe in the God you love and serve, and you lay your hands on them. Oh, I remember some of these experiences God has given me, and they are thrilling when you see somebody who doesn't know God. I'll never forget being over here. And forgive me for telling a few experiences, because I can only tell you what I know, not what I think. I was over here in the line to vote for Ronald Reagan the second time. We was in the Allen Brook School. There was such a crowd of people voting. The line stretched all the way out down those long halls. And I was standing there, and here came a gentleman. I knew him vaguely. And he said, Brother Chambers, my wife's at home sick. Would you pray for her? I just didn't even hesitate. I just laid my hand on that man and started praying with all I had. And I prayed and I believed God. And it was a case of a man who believed the God that Joe Chambers served could heal his wife, or he wouldn't have come to me. And I prayed for him and laid my hands on him, and he thanked me. And a few days later, I saw him. He said, Reverend Chambers, do you know you embarrassed the daylights out of me over there in that long hallway praying like you did? But could I tell you something? I said, what? He said, I went home and my wife was healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, that's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God I want to become more like than I ever have in all my life. I want to see miracles. I want to see sinners saved. I want to see people you work with saved. I'm ready, church. Are you ready to let the spiritual be operative in your life? And you will wade into the world of the unsaved and start ministering healing to their bodies? It's wonderful for you to be healed. It's wonderful for Brother Marlon to be healed. Anybody else in here? But it's even more wonderful if we lead a sinner and God uses us to see them healed. And that, I tell you right now, that will be an evidence of faith in you bigger and better than even faith that I might have for myself to be healed. It's when I can see that old sinner, brother, out there healed. And because God healed him, he shakes to the core. You know what Jesus said to one woman? Go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. She was sick and she was lost, and Jesus healed her and then gave her a command. Don't you go back to that world of sin now. Don't you go back in that world of darkness now. You start living right. You tell an old sinner that you just healed, or God just healed through you, and I promise you, you tell him, don't you go back in sin now. Don't you go back doing that. You have an obligation to serve God. He won't forget it. He won't forget it. Do you understand what I'm preaching to you this morning? I want you to be spiritual. I want you, Brother Danny Lawless, every one of you. I want every one of you, bless your heart. Hallelujah. Jackie. I want Brother Jackie to be mightily used. Every one of you. I'm just calling names because I mean all of you. I'm putting all of you in the same bracket. Brother Allen, you go to some incredible places. If you can go in there in the power of the Holy Ghost and start seeing some people healed, it's going to make your ministry double up and become greater than it's ever been. You must have faith. You must. How many believe God can heal the sick? Let me see your hand. How many believe He will heal the sick? Let me see your hand. How many can go in the name of Jesus and start seeing the unsaved healed? Let's do it in the name of the Lord. Let's do it in the name of the Lord. You're going to hear Brother Chambers. At least I'll tell you about it. Going down here to the grocery store, and here comes a sick person, and just stop him and say, "Hey, do you believe that Jesus can heal you?" "Yeah, I do. Can I pray for you?" And then God healed them. You know, I love to be outspoken. We was in the airport at Bangor, that's way up in Maine, on Thursday, and I went up and met one of the men that worked with the airport. And just talked to him a minute, told him my birthday, and he got the attention of the whole gate. Big old crowd of people. Said, "Hey, I've got a minister here having a birthday today. Let's sing happy birthday to him." And the whole gate of people getting ready to go on the plane sung happy birthday to me. And then I began to tell them, you know, one by one, I began to share with them, and God gave me some wonderful opportunities to share this glorious gospel. Oh, are you listening to me? God wants you out here in your world with spiritual anointing upon your heart and your life. Don't be ashamed. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. A Christian is supposed to be outgoing and let the world know I belong to Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God. Now listen, number six, God's looking for prophets and prophetesses. You believe in prophetesses? Yes, I do. The Bible said your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. The book of Acts chapter 2, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. God's looking for some prophets. Now, I don't mean people go around saying I'm a prophet. We don't need none of that. If anybody tells you they are prophets, you run. You run. People who are prophets and prophetesses don't brag about it. They just show the work of it. They just show the deeds of it. That's all you're supposed to do as a prophet or prophetess. And God's calling every one of you. I don't believe He gave me this sermon for part of you. I believe everybody in this building, God is calling you to be a prophet or a prophetess. Well, the Bible said your son and your daughter shall prophesy. That leaves out nobody. Is that okay with y'all? Do y'all really believe that? See, if we will let God get a hold of this church, every one of us, and we'll start spreading this wonderful message all over this city. And if Sister Norma, somewhere this week with one of her Spanish friends, they're sick, and she said, "Well, let me pray for you. I want to believe God to heal you and lay your hands upon them. Go get you some cooking oil if you don't have any other kind, and anoint them with oil." Nothing wrong with cooking oil. Really, whatever you got, and anoint them and believe God to heal them. Hallelujah. Because God is calling you to be usable to Him in this world. His gifts are for everybody. So I want to shout and praise Him with all my heart. I want to turn this city upside down. I want to see the spiritual, the mighty of God moving and working miracles. Are you ready? Now, the Holy Ghost knows your heart. He knows if you're living holy or not. Listen to me. He knows if you're sold out to Him or not. Now, don't get mad at me. I just think when you are negligent, I don't believe in going to church late. And I don't believe in missing church. And I believe you say something about your life when you let anything hinder you when it comes to your devotion and your dedication. Let me quote you something. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. How many will say that out loud? But Brother Chambers, you don't know what happened. I don't care what happened unless it's an emergency. You can't change. You get up and go to the house of God. Oh, but somebody came to my house will say, I'm going to church. Will you go with me? If not, you wait here. I'll be back and I'll cook you some lunch, but I'm not going to miss church. Oh, you say, Brother Chambers, you're just being nosy. No, I'm not. I'm being your pastor. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, what will turn this church upside down when we have a Sunday and one third of us is out, it just cripples the whole church. I sat in my room often weeping because of the absenteeism of many good people that I know love God. You make up your mind to be on time. You make up your mind on Saturday. You start getting yourself ready for Sunday. Go to bed early. Don't watch television to 2 and expect to wake up on time for the house of God. You put God first and make God real in your life. I'm talking that God knows you. And if he's going to use you, you're going to be right. How many love me still? Can I see your hand? Do you love me still? Am I giving it to you straight? I believe I am because I want God to turn this church upside down. I want God to shake this place until we see the miracles of God. Your children and your families and your families and your families. I want to see conviction. I called a young, a granddaughter of mine. Not long ago. And I said, honey, the Holy Ghost has told me, if you'll come and let Papa pray for you, he'll give you a child of your own. She's childless. The doctor says she can't have them. That's nothing but the doctor's opinion. I know God's opinion. And God's opinion. And I said, now, when you're ready, I promise you, when you're ready, you just come, let us lay hands on you, and God's going to put a baby in your arms. And it's going to be your baby. God's going to give it to you. And she hadn't obeyed me yet. She hasn't come yet. But I promise you, when she does, God's going to give a miracle. And she's going to have a little child of her own. Now, that's how God wants us to start operating. That's how God wants us to start living. He wants us to expect the supernatural. He wants us to claim the supernatural. You are just as important as Marvin Clark or anybody else in this building. Woo, hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. But God knows you. God knows you. And if there's any ounce of carelessness or negligent or a failure to be completely his, he can't use you. He can't use you. Are you listening to me? There's nothing that's a bigger disappointment than somebody claiming God's power that lives careless and loose. Now, God does none of this for your glory. The Holy Ghost will never allow one gift to operate in one life unless that great Spirit of God knows without a question or a doubt that God will get the glory. God's not going to use your chambers to bring glory to me. I don't want you to ever, don't ever. Through the years, I've often enjoyed somebody telling me I preach good. But I don't want you to ever do that again. I want me to depend on nothing but God and the work of the Holy Ghost. And I want God to get every ounce of the glory. How many of you are with me? I want God to get every ounce of the glory. I want to be so sold out to him, so devoted to him, that he knows he can use me any way it pleases him, and I will give him the glory. Say it with me, will you? I will give him the glory. Raise your hand way up high. I will give him the glory. And I'll do it with all my heart. Now, number 10, I think it is. God uses people who have a broken heart. God uses people who have a contrite and weeping spirit. God uses people who are compassionate. God's not going to give you a miracle with no haughty feeling. With a haughty, self-centered feeling. God's looking for selfless people. God's looking for people that won't know credit, that won't know praise. They just want to give God the glory. How many of you want to see your God exalted? You want to see your Christ lifted higher? You want to see his name made wonderfully respected and loved again? Praise the name of the Lord. a broken and a contrite spirit. Now this is not easy. I have periods of my life when I couldn't cry if I wanted to. Just no real compassion. And I'd have to fast and pray, cry out to God. And all of a sudden, an old spirit of contrition would come upon me. And I'd begin to weep and begin to seek God. And I'm here to tell you, I've never had the spirit of being broken and contrite to take a hold of me that I didn't start seeing results. When you are broken and contrite, you will see results. God will not let you down, brethren. God will not let you down, sisters. When you are broken, when you are contrite, if you are haughty and self-righteous, God cannot use you. God will not use you. You've got to be totally selfless. You've got to be totally given to Him. You've got to have compassion on the meanest devil in town. You've got to care about the lost. They've got to be the burden of your heart. Hallelujah. Brother Gans, I've enjoyed these prayer times we've had when there'd be weeping here on these altars. Just sobbing, oh God, the world. I don't know how you feel, but this world is going to hell at neckbreak speed, and there's little time left. If we're going to get the job done, we've got to get it done in a hurry. A Christian who has ready tears. A Christian who has ready tears. Are you listening to me? Now, listen to this. You've got to learn by spiritual consecration the difference between human emotions and Holy Ghost activity. I go to churches over this country, and I used to never go to anything but holiness churches. But most of them are so emotionally laden. They're so emotionally strung out. They're so emotionally high that if somebody jumps up and runs across the front, they think they've had a move of the Holy Ghost. Well, I believe in jumping up and running. I have nothing against it. But I know the difference between noise and the Holy Ghost. And you've got to learn that. It's not easy. And wonderful people don't know it. And wonderful people hadn't arrived there yet. But you pray and you seek the face of God. And you seek after the Holy Ghost. And you pray in the Spirit until you spend hours before God, and you will come to know the difference between emotions and the Holy Ghost. You've got to learn that. You listen to me. You've got to learn that. Because spiritual means divine activity. Spiritual means supernatural work. It don't mean just me making noise. I may preach loud, and I may preach with great enthusiasm, and sometimes it's just Brother Chambers giving it all he's got. But then when the anointing comes upon me, what a different world it is. Oh, hallelujah. I want you to raise your hand and just love on him a minute, would you? Father, we want to be a spiritual church. We want to be a church where prophets and prophetesses are at work busy on the streets, in their homes, where they work, all over the city. We want to see the hand of Almighty God. We want to see the hands of the Holy One. We want to see God's power. Now, spiritual. Are you ready for God to really make your life a spiritual life? Are you ready for God to get a hold of you and do things in you like you've never seen before? Are you ready? How many of you are ready? Would you raise your hand and tell God, God, I'm ready. God, I'm ready. God, I'm going to let you use me. God, I'm going to let you take my life in your hands. God, I'm going to become spiritual. Remember that last verse? This spiritual activity is for all men, nobody excluded. You, God wants to use. Where does it start, Brother Chambers? Get good and saved. Get good and sanctified. Get good and full of the Holy Ghost. And then wait on the Holy Ghost as He grows and matures, and you become sensitive, and you become devoted, and you become consecrated. It's a growing life. It's a growing life. It's a maturing life. It's a life that comes about because you give it all of you, and you put God at the center. Well, hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? Now I remind you, please. I will make sure that these 10 principles are written in your bulletin next Sunday. I want you to memorize them. I want you to memorize them. I want you to remember, of all things, that the Bible is the very background and basis of everything the Holy Ghost does. How many of you knew the Holy Ghost, or the Bible, is called the sword of the Spirit, or the sword of the Holy Ghost? The Bible, the sword of the Spirit. I mean, this Bible, you just get so full of it, and so full of the Holy Ghost, and so full of the spiritual, and give yourself to God with all you got. And let's see the hand of God in Paul Creek. See, I believe the return of praying in Jesus' name to the highest position in this nation has set the tone for that to happen from the top down. And for this nation to once again respect the power of the name of Jesus. And I believe there will be a spiritual move as a result of honoring his name. And I believe the Holy Ghost is ready to start giving miracles and supernatural things to make the world conscious of his church and of his name and of his power. Let's pray. Father, I am burdened to see sick people healed. Well, I am going into businesses and places wherever business takes me or responsibility carries me, or where the Holy Ghost leads me. I'm looking for miracles. I'm looking for healing. I'm looking for the mighty hand of God. Every vehicle that God puts in my hands, I'm going to use it to declare the mighty power of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to proclaim the name of Jesus with all the sin. I believe you're going to help the multitudes of people Jesus blessed.
I wish I could have seen the storm that went rolling away. When they looked inside the door to where the grave clothes lay, I didn't see that. I believe that you sent it in the air. And I really wish I could have been there.
Oh, I pray with you for Sister Lowry. But God give her a miracle, Marilyn. You go to see her the next time. You lay your hands on her and pray for her. If you need us, we'll come with you and go visit her and pray. We know a God that answers prayer. There's no limit to God's power. There's no limit of God's ability. I claim a miracle in your children, Sister Lowry. I claim a miracle in your family, Marilyn Clark. I claim a miracle in your family, brother, out of church. God wants to give us miracles. Let's claim you, Jesus. Father, we claim your miracle. We claim your mighty power. We claim your great visitation. We claim your glory, Lord.
And I really wish I could have been there. I wish I could have been there when the thousands were fed with just two fish and some bread. You see the little boy packing up the rest. I wish I could have been there.
Jesus bless.